Thank you, Father. Thank you that we have in you abundant favour and every reason for joy. We rejoice that our names are written in heaven. We rejoice that you care for us moment by moment and day by day. We rejoice that our names are engraved on the palms of your hands. We rejoice that we are a chosen generation and that you keep in perfect peace those who trust in you. We rejoice that you have so often been a calm and serene haven during life's roughest storms, and that you fill our hearts and minds and even our bodies with your tranquility, and indeed that you have many times been as the cool shadow of a great rock on the occasional blazing desert of our earthly journey. Thank you, Father. Amen. Hello, dear friend. This is Keith Nolan, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to meet with you in the Spirit across both time and space. This brief meditation is called We Rejoice, and we do, and we shall. Thank God for joy and laughter. It's a universal language. Anyone laughing in any language will be understood. Here's a true story. Something similar has probably happened to you at least once. A man got on a bus. Clearly, he was much privately amused about something. He was smiling broadly and seemed hardly able to keep from laughing aloud. He tried several times to straighten his face. He even covered it with his hand. It was useless. Whatever was tickling him couldn't be smothered. As often as he made another effort to look serious, his face wreathed in the broadest of smiles. To begin with, the other passengers were not amused and gazed at him sideways, straight-faced and straight-laced. He pulled his beard and again tried hard to look thoughtful and serious. But his failure was complete and absolute, so he put his head down and his overcoat collar up and pulled his hat over his eyes, but even then the other passengers could see his shoulders shaking. The upshot was that within 3 minutes everyone was smiling, even grinning. Several were quietly laughing outright. The man's sunshine spirit had filled to overflowing the whole lower deck without one word being said. In the Old Testament, the word usually translated as joy, gladness, and mirth comes from a word meaning to be bright, to shine. It's also translated from another word meaning to spring, to leap. It can mean joyfully to spin in a circle, whether on one's feet or in a cartwheel, I leave to your imagination. It certainly means to dance and to be happily excited. In the Old Testament, joy carries the meaning of exuberance, of merry exaltation, often in the context of perfectly legitimate religious emotion. What we might call religious joy is even more prominent in the New Testament. From the outset, God's wonderful news to us about our Lord Jesus Christ is called good tidings of great joy. And in the Gospel, according to Luke especially, joy is conspicuous. Without going into the matter in detail, what we might call the joyful component is often seen in the teaching of Jesus to those with eyes to see and ears to hear. It seems that despite the grief and tragedy he often came across in his ministry, he was himself gladsome and joyous. Certainly, we don't get the impression that he was ever unnecessarily gloomy or serious. He calls himself a bridegroom, hardly someone likely to be miserable. He was well known and criticized by his enemies as one who came eating and drinking, They even called him a gluttonous man and a wine bibber. No doubt they exaggerated. Nevertheless, they must have based their criticism on something. We read of him rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. He was invited to at least one wedding together with all his close friends. We don't usually invite the wretched, the doleful, or the habitually woebegone to parties. He talks more than once about my joy. On several occasions, he talks of things that must have made his first hearers chuckle or even laugh out loud. It's our familiarity with his words that has robbed so many of them of his original humour. In his Sermon on the Mount, he begins with the words, "Oh, the multiple happiness of those who..." and so on. You can read them in Matthew chapter 5, where the Authorised Version uses the word blessed, a word which must have originally been said with at least a chuckle when we realised just what he was saying. He invites his followers to rejoice and be exceeding glad. He says, and illustrates in story form, that the discovery that life's true treasure brings joy. For example, he tells three stories in Luke 15 that have to do with the rejoicing in the heart of deity when lost souls return to the one who is infinite love. And so we could go on. The Apostle Paul, too, often refers to the Christian's joy. The Apostle Peter writes of the Christ follower who rejoices with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And all this in spite of our temporary afflictions. Entrancing scenery and birdsong, the laughter of children, the youngster's cheek that dimples into a wide toothy grin, the faculty for harmless, even perhaps holy, daftness that lifts the spirit. These are but a few samples of the joy which is a gift of heaven to all normal human beings. It certainly isn't just for the young. As we grow older and our memory sometimes finds itself choked and clinkered, at least to some extent, with past and present hurts, joy is not always so quick to bubble from our depths as it once was. Nevertheless, the old sparkle can be revived. You too can know again what it is to enjoy a vigorous, buoyant, joyful spirit. My prayer is that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. May the indwelling Spirit gently push your spirit into the living water of Christ's love. May his holy, steady, heart-warming breeze fill the sails of your life and cause you to float within the safe harbour of his ever-loving heart. There's nothing else like it this side of the glory land, and he will do this for you as you yield to him and dare to expect his best in your heart and circumstances. I think it was the well-loved Victorian preacher Spurgeon who once declared that the Christian's delight is like a steady coal fire. We don't see coal fires much these days, but I can remember as a boy, long before central heating, gazing many times at a grate filled with glowing ruby red coals, legs burning, back freezing. Everyone who came into the room would make for the fire to warm their frozen hands. A well-stoked fire would give a steady heat, and what a joy that was on a cold winter's day. Well, the Christian's joy can be like that. And oh, when our joys grow full, divinely full, then they are unspeakably like those beyond this world, and heaven begins while we're on our way to heaven. Most people laugh when they're joyful. Some cry. Both responses are fine. When you are able to say with certainty that you know the one in whom you believe, and are persuaded that he is able to keep you warmly wrapped in his safekeeping, soul and body, until he removes you to heaven, well, that is joy indeed. Our joy is not mere gaiety for its own sake. It's as different from buffoonery as chalk is from chocolate. It's often a result of the inner power of God helping us to triumph over adverse conditions. The Apostle Peter says, and here I'm quoting from the Message paraphrase, "Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner." And our Lord himself says to all who will hear, I'm paraphrasing loosely from Matthew chapter 5, "Oh, the joys, the blessings, the happinesses coming your way when you show others how to cooperate rather than compete or fight. It's then that you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. How blessed you are when your happy, harmless commitment to God provokes persecution, for this will drive you even deeper into his kingdom. And more than this, says Jesus, reckon yourself a recipient of joy whenever others put you down or throw you out of their company or speak lies about you to discredit me. This shows that for them, the truth is too close for comfort. Be glad when this kind of thing happens to you. Rejoice. Give a cheer even. They may not like who you are or what you believe or what you stand for, but I do. All heaven stands to applaud. And know this, you are in excellent company. My witnesses have always experienced trouble." On one occasion, for example, the apostles left the high council overflowing with joy because they had been given the honour of being dishonoured on account of the Saviour they loved so much and whose message they had dedicated their lives to sharing. Paul says that he continued to shout his praises to the Lord even when he was hemmed in with troubles because, he says, "I know how troubles can develop passionate patience." What a man! And these are only a sample of the many reasons for joy we can dig out of the rich mine of Bible truth. Someone has wisely said that if you can laugh at it, you can live with it. Harmless laughter, merriment, and joy are to life what salt is to an egg. Joy is probably the least expensive luxury we have. It stirs the blood, deepens the breathing, brings a healthy tingle to the nerves, clears cobwebs from the tired mind, and gives the whole system a spring clean. And let's remember, anyone laughing in any language will be understood. So keep laughing. Do it deliberately. It's therapeutic. And the Lord our God approves. Thank you, Father. Amen. God bless you.